Welcome to episode 6 of Nuggets for Vet Nurses, where we talk 10 or so minutes of clinical knowledge relevant to your everyday nursing life. I'm Marcus Taylor.
And I'm Esther Fan. From both sides of the equator, we're your show hosts.
We hope you've had a fitting end to 2021 and a great start to 2022. Here in Finland, I really had a crazy New Year's, actually. It was more straight after New Year's. We went up to Lapland and it was fantastic. It was beautiful up there.
Wow. For New Year's, my sister and I spent a couple of days tramping in the Kosciuszko National Park in New South Wales. We weathered a storm in my trusty little tent on the side of a mountain, woke to glorious weather and ascended Mount Kosciuszko, Australia's highest peak. FYI, it's more of a mound than a massive mountain at a humble 2,200 metres.
And by the way, tramping is the Kiwi term for hiking, usually like a multi-day or overnight hike.
Oh yeah, it doesn't mean going through rubbish bins for food and stuff. That really wasn't our pastime over New Year's.
So in these next two episodes, we're going to be tackling the huge and often controversial topic of nutrition. What do I feed my pet?
That's right. It's one of the most common questions I get asked in practice, like almost every day. It's a topic I'm pretty passionate about, but I do get tired of regurgitating the answers over and over again. Sometimes I wish I could record my spiel, play it to my client while I leave the room for a few minutes.
Well, it seems like your dream has come true today, Esther. Now you can play this podcast to them while you go off and get your coffee.
True. I could even expand it maybe to be an automated, like, push one for answers in nutrition and push two for info on conjunctivitis and push three if you have a dog that pulls on its lead.
If only being a vet was that simple, and if only nutrition was simple. With so many options, conflicting facts, it's such a sensitive topic. Even for vets, it's sometimes hard to know what to say and what advice to give. How do you address it?
Well, in my mind, nutrition is simple. What I want to do is kiss. Not you, not my animal, and not my colleagues or my client. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. I don't jump in and recommend a particular brand or diet. I want clients to understand the basic principles of pet nutrition so they can make educated food choices for their pets. It's actually not that complicated when you get back to basics. Just a disclaimer, I'm not a veterinary nutritionist, but I have had the content of this podcast verified by one. And we don't have any affiliations with pet food companies, even if we post some pictures of different brands for educational purposes. I'll also be talking more about dogs in my examples, but the same principles apply to cats.
Okay, so question one, what do I feed?
So, basic principle number one, dog food for dogs, cat food for cats, and human food for humans. End of story.
But what about chicken, mince, coconut oil, boiled rice and broccoli, olive oil and yogurt?
Yeah, you can leave those out. Why? Because here comes the basic principle number two, balance. A home-cooked or human diet is not balanced, no matter how pure or pricey the individual ingredients are. For example, many home-cooked meals or diets primarily consisting of meat are lacking in calcium. Calcium is needed for bone growth and other functions. Humans get calcium from dairy products, nuts, soy, etc. But we don't and shouldn't feed these to our dogs or cats. It's very hard to balance a home-cooked diet if you're not a nutritionist. If I were to try and formulate a balanced home-cooked diet for your dog, I'd have to sit down, work out its nutritional requirements, calculate the nutrition components of all the food you want to add in, and then probably send you to the pharmacy to pick up some supplements to ensure they're not lacking something. But the good news is, I don't need to do that, because all dog food marketed as complete and balanced will have the right balance of protein, carbs, calcium, magnesium, vitamin K, selenium, etc.
So you're saying if you feed a commercial diet, your dog won't lack nutrients?
Exactly. And for clients that still need convincing, you should tell them about AAFCO. That's A-A-F-C-O. This stands for the American Association of Feed Control Officials. These guides produce nutrition profiles or nutrition standards for pet foods. The AAFCO statement on pet food packaging means the food has been formulated with the nutrients in the right balance according to these AAFCO profiles. In short, it is the minimum standards or recipes that pet companies need to follow in order to say their product is complete and balanced. So teach clients to look for the EFCO statement on their bag of pet food. If they find it, they can rest assured their pet is getting all of its nutritional needs.
So if you feed a commercial diet that has the EFCO sticker on it, the dog won't lack nutrients.
Exactly.
Okay. So as an exercise, why don't you spend 5 minutes looking at your pet's bag of food, or go to the supermarket and check the packaging of different brands, or go to our Instagram where we'll put up some examples. Okay, now that I understand that home-cooked meals aren't balanced, I'm going to go buy some commercial pet food. Which brand should I buy? Are expensive brands better?
Yes and no. It's here that we need to introduce principle number 3, that is, quality. The difference between cheap brands and the premium brands is the quality of the ingredients. For example, the cheaper brands might have soy or vegetable protein. The more expensive brands might have chicken or meat protein, but both will have an adequate amount of protein. They will both be balanced. Therefore, both will be better than a home-cooked diet.
So you're saying I'm better off feeding even the cheapest supermarket brand, if it follows the AFCO guidelines, rather than a combo of Wagyu beef, organic, turmeric, fair trade whole wheat pasta, and homegrown veggies?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
My bank balance likes the sound of that.
And what I also want to say is that you should reserve some of that food for me, not for your dog.
So what about premium brands?
Premium brands such as Hill's or Royal Canin are still equally balanced, but they have higher quality ingredients. They often have less fillers, which means you feed a smaller amount to get the same amount of nutrients. That means less feces to scoop up as well.
Less pooper scooping. That's me sold.
Yes, but there's something more important to note. Premium brands don't just formulate to the AFCO profile, i.e. just follow the recipe. They go one step further and do food trials to test the safety and quality of their food. This means they feed their diet to X amount of dogs or cats for X amount of time, and at the end of the trial, they measure the weight and other parameters of the animals to make sure they are healthy. This shows that their diet actually works in real animals and not just on paper.
Because the research trials are expensive, this food costs more.
Spot on. I tell clients it's usually a matter of you pay for what you get. If you can afford more than the cheapest supermarket brand, then go a bit better. But don't feel that you're doing your pet a disservice if you can't afford the most expensive brand.
But Esther, are you sure I can't feed some chicken or some bacon or toast scraps? Do I have to feed 100% dog food?
Well, meat, bread, veggies, and lots of other foods in themselves won't cause harm per se. You'll know that we often feed boiled chicken to inpatients when they are inappetent. But it's the quantities that matter here. Let's go back to the principle of balance. If you feed a few pieces of chicken to a large dog once a week for training or for a Sunday treat, it's not going to upset the nutrition balance of its dog food too much. But if you feed a whole drumstick to a chihuahua on a daily basis, plus half a cookie for morning tea and a carrot for dessert with a side sprinkling of dog biscuits, all those extras are going to offset the balance of the biscuits. So the more meat or non-dog food you add in, the more unbalanced the diet will be. Train the clients to think like this rather than dictating rules.
Rules like 2 toast crusts are okay, but 3 isn't, or 100 grams of minced 1.5 times a week is okay, but 150 grams twice a week isn't.
Yep.
So those are good tips on how to educate our clients. Well, we've got more common pet food questions to answer, but we might address those in our next episode, which will be part 2 of this topic.
Yeah, I reckon I've done enough talking this time. I've got a question for you now, Marcus. Back in episode 1, you told our listeners you'd explain how and why you ended up in Finland from New Zealand. So how and why did you end up all the way over there?
You're right. I completely forgot I promised that story. So I'll tell it. It is a bit of a romantic love story, so I hope our listeners are in the mood for that.
After talking about nutrition, what more could they be ready for?
They've got their tummies rumbling for some romance, absolutely. So, I was in California. I went back to visit Bible school I went to for a few years, actually, which was a good time. And Across the field walked this woman, and she was wearing a white vintage wedding dress, and the sun was shining in her hair, and I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And
well, hang on a second. Was a wedding going on?
Oh, there was no wedding. She just loves vintage clothes, and it wasn't like blatantly a wedding dress. I didn't know until later that it actually was a vintage wedding dress. I just thought it was a beautiful white dress. But yeah, it turned out that was what was going to be happening in like a year later in New Zealand, because she did come with me back to New Zealand after we spent just 3 days together in California, went on some dates. So it was quite a bold move from her. We basically fell in love over the lockdown time. You know, nothing to do but to hang out and go walking on the beach, and because we were locked down like right near the beach.
Same.
And then she's finished, so I thought she spent a year and a half in New Zealand. I should go see her homeland, try to learn some Finnish. I'm doing a terrible job. Finnish is like got to be the hardest language in the world. It is so difficult. Like, I dare you to go look up some Finnish words sometime. Like, they're like 25 letters long. My street name is 19 letters long. It's Laivan Varusna Jankatu.
It's basically the whole alphabet.
Yeah, and I couldn't say it or spell it for the first like month I was here. So I just didn't know where I lived. I didn't even know the way home. I couldn't type it into Google. But yeah, that's long story short. And now I'm here in Finland. A few more weeks left, and then we're moving to Jordan for our next adventure.
Wow, that's super cool. And it just goes to show that you never know where life will take you, I suppose. Alrighty, that's definitely enough for us this show. We'll be back next time with more on what your mutt should munch on. Till then, don't forget to kiss.
Kiss, or keep it simple, stupid. See ya.